broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, That Loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening once again, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an honor or two. And of course, those on the road folks, big salute out to you all, as well as our Space Force Rangers. Welcome to our namesake program, Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is Wednesday, my goodness, February 28th. It is a leap year. We have one more day left in the month. It seems as though we have a leap year in 2024. And we broadcast live from these high mountain deserts and continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide as this great awakening continues across the face of the earth. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It remains an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. Not all things are just yummy to look at, but it is remaining as we watch things unfold. It remains an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing, correcting what has been wronged. For those of you joining us here for the first time, we'll first define the term holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. We're going to talk about it all, folks, and I mean we're going to talk about it all, folks, tonight, the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, historical and hysterical, and the politically mundane, not so mundane right now as we sit on the cusp of a few things coming up on our scope here. We got some things we're seeing coming on up, but we'll be blowing up all them little non sequiturs. And the non sequiturs that we're going to be blowing up tonight are going to be big. We're going to blow them up. We're going to blow them up good. We're going to speak truth to people because that's the loving thing to do, is to tell people the truth. Now, the way we tell the truth can be very, very harsh, like a Band-Aid being ripped off of a very festered wound that's full of pain already, or we can debride it layer at a time, and it may take a little bit, but I assure you we adjust for each layer. Remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you too. Question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. Do not take me at my word. I am not going to try to convince you. I'm here to shed some light. So take on only what is yours. Not everything is for everyone. Some things will have to be listened to closely this evening. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals. And then discard those things that offend your spirit. Research what you hear so you can own your own experience in gaining this knowledge. We're going to answer a whole bunch of questions. We're going to ask a bunch of questions this evening before we get too far along into the program. The first question that I want to ask, and it's going to be kind of like I just got it just before we came on air. I was watching a debate going on, some people exchanging information, and they were talking about winning, we're going to win, and they keep winning, and we keep, you know, and so it doesn't matter whether it came from a conservative or a liberal, or a left or a right, or a Democrat or a Republican, the question came from listening to these things, and the question is, what does winning look like? That's not the topic for tonight. That is a pondering question to really take a look at. It's not just a simple question. There cannot possibly be a simple answer to the question of what does winning look like. Not when we think about what winning is, if a rising tide raises all boats, if we're all in this together, does winning look like screwing each other over for a percentage? You get more because you're bigger? Or does winning mean, as we've learned from those in the very special category of Olympics, that it's good if we hold hands and cross the finish line together? We'll ponder that question. What does winning look like? Let me go ahead and get a drink. So we got a lot of topics to talk about tonight, in-depth breakdown of some of the things that are going on the world stage. But before we do, I do want to say a couple of things. First of all, you know, it's become common knowledge now that Leader Mitch McConnell, is going to be stepping down from his leadership role, and yet he will not, you know, he has an accomplished tenure, people. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and give kudos where kudos go, because there's a big picture to see in this. Remember, we've been telling this story for a while, his story, no, the story, for a while. And remember, Leader McConnell first came in really young, 40 years ago, during the Reagan administration. And a lot of people that came in during the Reagan administration, you know, got some scathing things going on. Not many of them came out of that thing unscathed. They had hard battles in front of them and hard challenges to face, but they didn't exit. And I want us to also remember that it was Mitch McConnell that held the line so that Mayorkas, because it was not due a vote and it was his call to make, that held off the nomination of Mayorkas so that we could actually get an honorable justice on the seat. Now, I'm calling it as it is. I'm not going to pretend that people's feelings are going to matter other than the fact that this is a gentleman who has served this nation for 40 years. He has held the line in critical situations, ensuring many levels of success, regardless of what he was up against, regardless of the things going on around him, and some of the things that might have scathed him during his tenure. We're going to speak as plainly as we need to, but we're going to show honor to this gentleman for a job well done and wish him well on his exit of leadership and welcome his input. And I heard one pundit, you know, referring to him as a lame duck, and I want us to be very careful. I want us to be very careful about this. He has served our nation, and he will continue to serve our nation, to right the things that have been wrong, because he has very good knowledge. He has expert knowledge in certain situations, certain areas that we don't have that expert knowledge in. And so although he is stepping down from his leadership role, he will continue to ensure success as we unravel some of this mess. It's still messy. Messy is still messy. And I just want to thank the gentleman for a job well done and for continuing to assist us on the road to making things right that had become wrong, and for sharing your unique view on things that allowed us to see what we needed to see, to take the actions that needed to be taken. So thank you, Leader McConnell, for your service, sir. So, you know, it's necessary, and I have spoken against Leader McConnell before. Was it necessary? I thought it was at the time. Am I going to take it back? No, I'm not backpedaling. I'm not. But I am giving honor to where it's due and respect to where it's required, because this man has served this nation for 40 years, 4-0. And that's longer than so many people that are voting have been alive. And it's not about him being an old guy and needing to go. But does he not get to rest at some point from all that he has, from all of the work? From all the work. And so if I was retiring from a leadership position, I would hope that folks would afford me the same grace and respect that I do believe this gentleman is due. So that's what I have to say about Leader McConnell, and I wish you well, sir. Thank you. So let's talk about that. That's a little bit of the political stuff. And, you know, I do want to talk. I was going to talk in the end of it, but I'm not. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about. Then we're going to talk, and I'm going to tell you what we talked about, because that's the way we do this. So what I have outlined on the Blog Talk Radio page is basically, let's just go down the items, and we're going to talk about NATO and the UN too, but not in a very favorable light and not for very long. And you'll find out, you'll see why as we paint this picture. So the first question that we're going to have on this bullet is Putin, and we know with Russia, right? Putin, he's a representative of Russia. Is Putin invading or is Putin protecting the apple of his eye? Right, because Putin calls Ukraine the apple of his eye. Do you invade the apple of your eye, or do you protect it? So we'll answer that question. We'll talk about what he may or may not be protecting it from. We'll talk about that in depth. We're also going to ask the question, when did NATO become anyone's friend without a price? And I'm going to add in there a high price. Item three, the European Union has been romancing Ukraine with stones for a very long time. We'll talk about what that means. Who's Ukraine's new boyfriend? We're going to ask that question. And so we're going to spend a lot of time talking about some overseas things. Before we do, we're going to talk about very local yokel stuff. We're also going to address the Palestinian issue. We need to, because it's messy, and we have a lot of American citizens that are paying very close attention to this Palestinian issue, and so we're going to address that, and that's part of our voter base. We need to address that, and we need to address it with truth from a place of love and understanding, because people, we don't have accurate history, but we're going to go through that. And so we're going to also discuss the issues with IVF. We're going to do that really quickly at the top of the hour, top of the program. And then, of course, the last two issues we're going to discuss first, why break a perfectly equitable pattern of delivery. So we'll discuss the last things first and the first things last, because they do bear a little bit of immediate attention, I do believe. So the first thing I want to discuss out of order is the issue with IVF. Now, some of you know, and some of you may not, but, you know, I do have a degree of medical knowledge. I have quite a bit of base from which to pull, and I have a good historical brain, and I'm really good at connecting dots. So there has come from, I guess, the state of Alabama, where they're passing a law that embryos are people, and now we're going to get into this convoluted discussion of when life begins. That's not what this particular program is about. We're not going to discuss that. We all know. So the issues with IVF, and for those of you who don't know, IVF is in vitro fertilization. That's where you make a baby in the test tube, and then you put the embryo or the what has been conceived, you have it implanted into the uterus so that the couple can have a baby. There's all kinds of forms of assistance when it comes to conception assistance, or, you know, that, which is different, but we won't go there. So the issues with IVF, and so now they're protecting all the embryos, which is a thought to have, and now the law comes that says there's a stay against the use of them. It's almost like they're holding everything in hostage, and I'm like, good. We need to stop this for a moment. Take a pause, I think is what the words folks are usually using now. Just take a pause and take a breath and take a look at what it is. Not emotionally, take a look at what it is that the system has become. There is a high retail value for viable embryos, a high retail value for viable embryos. In fact, it's almost as high a retail value for viable embryos as there is a high retail value for dismembered children that they sell off after abortions. What does winning look like? What does winning look like on this issue? So rather than going into the convolutions of the argument, because we're all adults here and we kind of can see we've all had the arguments and we spit them out back and forth, but we need to take a look at the fact that that whole IVF system without exception is a failure and it's broken right now. It is as much of a meat market as the abortion market is. And they sell, they charge high prices, preying, P-R-I-N-G, preying on the fears and the hopes and the expectations and the yada yada everybody things that goes on when you want to conceive and for whatever reason have found the couple has found themselves barren. There is an answer to it, but this meat market that they have right now is not it, because we don't know what's in it. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're buying when you get IVF right now. It is so deregulated. The one thing we do need to have regulations and a watchguard on, life, there is none. Well, the doctor says, well, we know what the doctors have been telling us for a very long time. So we need to get smart about this, check the inventory, find out the history of these embryos, because we know genomes are us, and it has become a very high-priced meat market. That's just the way it is. And I wish there was an easier, softer way to discuss it and to say it, but that's it. So for now, I'm glad that the IVF has a stay on it, because we want to give them the best start possible, do we not? These babies, do we not want to give them the absolutely best start possible? So if anybody was to ask my advice on this, and they haven't directly, but it's come across my desk enough that I think I want to go ahead and weigh in, is we need to hold the line on this and not make any hasty decisions on this particular issue, keeping things measured. And that is a nod to the Euclidean mathematics that gives us the measure of a man, a measure of people, and the congruency of it. So understand there are those who have an invested interest in tainting the IVF stockpile, for lack of a better thing? What else do you stockpile other than goods and services? And so they're treating it like property. They're getting high value for their processing. And I want to tell you, as a prior lab tech, what they do is not that hard. I've got experience in lab tech, in laboratory medicine. And the procedure with the right equipment is not that hard. But they get paid a lot of money. And if it's the genome du jour, they get paid even more. I'll be putting some proofs out on that as we go further down into the week and through the weekend. So we want to provide our babies, whether it's through IVF or AID or any of the things. Do we not want to be sure that we are providing a healthy start for these babies? Because we need babies. We've got to grow a nation. The only way to grow a nation is with children, not by importing criminals that refuse to assimilate and have one purpose, and that is to destroy. The locusts have a king. So on this issue of IVF, my suggestion is to hold the line on it, do inventory, and keep things measured. And there are many who are qualified to do those things. So I wanted to take care of that at the top, you know, because these are the things that just bear talking about but don't necessarily fit into the categories that we, or any of the topics that we have. The other thing is, you know, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about President Trump for a minute and the predicament that the deep state lawfare people are trying to put him in. They're trying to put him in a box, put him in a situation. I guess they're trying to create a Kobayashi Maru, right, where there's a no-win scenario. What they don't understand is every time they indict, all they're doing is taking the bait. And I don't think that they understand the whole purpose of going to the Supreme Court with this, but we'll get to that as we get through the topics that we're going to cover. So I do want to say this about that. You know, I'm listening to some of the news pundits, those who have more experience arguing and discussing legal matters than I do. And so I was listening to both sides of the argument. Seems to me, from what I've been able to gather, and I'm not feigning ignorance, I'm coming at this from an outside perspective, looking in with a civics and life experience with the law, and the ability to research, search, and research, and I've read the Constitution. So everyone, you know, there's a big argument. I mean, everyone's saying, no, there is an argument in front of us, an argument in front of us. It seems as though it's been put forth through the media that, and I haven't been on social media for a little while because I've been concentrating on this, these things. So it seems to be, the argument is, does President Trump have absolute immunity? And there's all kinds of this, that's, and the others. I think I copied it. I think I've got it. Yes, here it is. It's Trump versus U.S. at issue for the Supreme Court. Now, this is the quote, so this isn't me, you know, pulling it out my thumb or nothing. It says, whether and if so, to what extent does a former president enjoy presidential immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office? And I want to say to you that first of all, what? And why? What is this question? And why is it being posted? Because if you've read the Constitution of the United States, you understand that while the president is in office, if there is a high crime and misdemeanor, there are articles of impeachment that can be filed. That is their avenue, the legal avenue, the checks and balance provided constitutionally to say, hey, Mr. President, we think you're doing that. We think this is a crime. Well, they did that. How many times? Impeachment number one, impeachment number two, and two scoops of acquittal. So they tried that avenue and found that there was nothing to impeach him. The impeachment was found to be false. There's nothing to investigate. And so an impeachment is an accusation or a reason to investigate. That's what an impeachment is. So he was investigated. That's what an impeachment is. An impeachment is not a trial of right or wrong or criminal or anything else. When you impeach something, when you impeach a person, you impeach their integrity, you impeach this, you investigate. So if you decide, you know, you call somebody, say their integrity is in impeachable, unimpeachable, it means there's no sense in investigating because you're not going to find anything. And I think we've seen this with what he went through, what the president went through during his first term in office. So that's the legal avenue to hold the president responsible for the actions that he did while he was in office. When he gets out of office, if he commits a crime afterward, well, then he's not necessarily covered by that. And why would a president commit a crime after he's out of office that would be related to anything that was going on in office? So first of all, was there a crime? The answer looks like there's no. No matter how much the other side wants to have him guilty of a criminal offense, it hasn't happened. And if it has occurred, I would find it. I bet you, because I'm not bad at what I do. So as far as the law goes, congressional oversight calls the balls and strikes with articles of impeachment for high crimes or misdemeanors during his tenure. They have no authority to impeach a civilian. So now they go to other folks outside to harass the smithereens out of him, create so much chaos and so many arguments on so many levels. So let's dig through this. The Fannie Willis thing, that's been proofed out. Now it's going to play out. It got proofed. Now it will play. Tisha James, it's been proofed out. Now it will play out. Mr. Ergun, the pervert judge, it's been proofed out. Now it'll play out. Those things won't hold against President Trump for the reasons I just stated. So now let's go to this special, the unconstitutional position. There is no such thing as a special counsel provided for in the Constitution of the United States. So it's an invented position created for this evidently experienced corrupt attorney. And I'm going to call it like it is because he goes by the book. He's part of the SCA, he's part of the whole deep state shenanigans, the ones that they go to when they need an argument. He was the one that they went to all the way back into Kosovo, all the way back to then, to trump up charges, no pun intended, to invent charges against those persons in that area. Because they wouldn't play ball the way he wanted them to play ball. So they created this, invented a position called a special counselor. He got to be the first one, and now he's going to be the last, it looks like, because it is an invented position. It has no constitutional weight. If it has no constitutional weight, it has no business being in the middle of this. He can special counsel all he wants. It has no legal bearing. It is a fictitious position. So that's what I have to say about that. It is just a fictitious position. And these other crimes, all that stuff's made up. And every time they do this, all they do is bite on the hook and allow me an opportunity to investigate the corruption that they're trying to cover up by throwing the ball all over President Trump. So we're not looking at the corruption that he is consistently and constantly allowing us to reveal. That's how I'm playing it. They step on it every single time. They're not learning. They're not learning. Now, there is an argument that came up, and I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit of a stretch of time here. We're not going to pick this on the other side of the break, but I want to go ahead and pay attention to all of the things that I have bulleted there because it's going to take time and patience and love to put some of these arguments forward, because we're going to have to own some of our ignorance if we're going to move forward with any level of wisdom in the things that are going to be unfolding or that we believe might be unfolding. Now, first of all, there's some people yelling about a coup. There was no coup. The only thing that there was a staged event to make people believe that there was a coup going on, and that backfired too, didn't it, Miss Nancy Pelosi? And I understand. So the other issue then we have is Mr. Alvin Bragg. That's not Alvin Bragg. I will proof that out so that it can play itself out as well. That's not Alvin Bragg. That is someone in a mask, and most of the time it hits lopsided. So in all of these cases where I've proofed out and now it's playing out, understand that in the case of Fannie Willis does not wear glasses, shouldn't wear glasses. She's a lawyer. What was she doing? The last article that I found that she was doing is she was going to bat for foster children. And then President Trump got elected, and then this crazy lady comes on out and starts doing all this. But here's the thing. They didn't do their homework, and their lack of homework and lack of knowledge of things that preceded them are now sinking their ship. And there's one truth teller who will tell the truth, because he'll have his come to Jesus moment. So that will happen. And Alan Bragg, he's lame out the gate. He's history. And perhaps we'll see the real Alvin Bragg come to the stage. We'll see how that plays out. If you've been following the program, you understand that there's been snatch and grab. And we've had to unsnatch and ungrab those who are honest, that have been snatched and grabbed by those who are dishonest. It can become very confusing to think about. Don't think about it too long, just to understand that those things that were falling apart are going to be falling into place for a very long time. Take another shot. Take another legal shot at the president and reveal your hand so that I can investigate it. I would love that. Because this is an honest man, Donald J. Trump. There have been other things occurring around him. We know that. I can say it plainly. I've already done it before. There's no need to go there. But the extremists who do not want to learn what winning is about are not going to learn what winning is about, and they're going to continue to whine and cry like little babies who lost their pacifier because their side didn't win. Because they have no idea what it means to win for humanity. They have their own scores. And they'll get what they fight for. And it will fall on the heads. And we'll need to pray for them because there'll be fallout. So that's what I have to say about that. Now, if there was a high crime and misdemeanor offense while the president was in the Oval Office, and that then he would have been impeached for it. This is one thing that we need to consider as well. We are going to talk about this on the other side. We're going to go ahead and bring up the what was that? If I might make a little mock out of mock, is the Nixon argument that, you know, that there is already some precedent ruling set with the Nixon argument. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Why? Because it bears talking about. We need to bring that to the front and discuss that. And some of the whole can of worms that the deep state players are taking a big risk of burying themselves under, basically. And so we're going to discuss that. And the loose use of the word precedent-setting decision, because as we look at that, we have to look deeper into that decision and what precedent it actually, precedent, not president. Oh, we have so many homonyms going on. So there's that. We'll be talking about that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I think you'll find value in tonight's broadcast, the podcast, Pod People. We love you, too. We're going to say some things. We're going to say them out loud. We're going to get brave. It's not to step on people's toes. It's not at all. But it's because in order for us to step past where we are now, which is a fit of confusion and rage and name-calling and cootie game still to a degree, we're going to have to be willing to let the healing begin. So we're going to take about a 3-minute break, open up a can of 303 here with second chapter of Acts. It's old school, but it's good school. Let the healing begin.
And cold as stone, holding the weight of the world
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, silence doesn't protect us, but boy, when we start talking about stuff together, ooh, there's no place for the lies to hide. So we're going to start this conversation off just by saying at the top, you know, when we left and came for the break, we said we were going to talk about this Nixon issue, and we're going to talk about this Nixon issue. There was an argument that was saying that, you know, a precedent setting argument and decision with U.S. versus Nixon in this case with President Trump, because they were saying that that Nixon wasn't protected by the law because the court ruled that he had to turn over the tapes, whatever those were, right? We'll talk about that here in a second. So why would that be? Well, he was about to come under impeachment for high crimes and misdemeanors. He was in the process. I remember all the impeached Nixon buttons that were going on and all of the arguments, because I was a precocious kid that listened to the adults talk, and they were going to impeach him. I didn't know anything about what the tapes were at the time. I do now. So he decided to resign rather than face impeachment. Some say that that was a good thing to do. It protected a lot of people. Let's talk about that. The tapes that Nixon was going to have to turn over would have actually blown the lid off of the whole Watergate scandal. And the Watergate scandal is no different than the Pizzagate scandal that we've been trying to tell you guys about for a very long time. The same tapes would have revealed the same thing. This is what they have been covering up for decades. And so President Nixon took the loss and he stepped down, because he would have been killed otherwise if he had thrown the thing back on everything that was going on. Remember when he went to Bohemian Grove, he came back and what did he say? He said, that bunch of faggoty individuals out there. He wanted nothing to do with that. There is some false history about President Nixon. But I remember when he was elected, and I remember when he was impeached. I remember both. There were very significant occurrences going on during the time. And so it's the congressional duty, president of high crimes and misdemeanors, if indeed there is a high crime and a misdemeanor. And why did everybody get fired in the Midnight Massacre? Because everybody was dirty. And why did everybody get pardoned? Because everyone was covering up. Not unlike some of the things that we've seen today, only remember that we've got impeachment number one and impeachment number two and two scoops of acquittal. So this U.S. versus Nixon is not a congruent precedent argument to make. It's just not congruent. Because the one thing that nobody wants Trump to do, no corrupt person, the one thing they don't want him to do is present the evidence. That's what they don't want. Don't give him a room to breathe. Were they raiding his house to find evidence against him, or were they raiding his house to find evidence against themselves? Remember, we have been presented with a picture that if we turn it around the other way is exactly what's going on. They're going and looking for a crime, and if they can't find one, they'll just make one up. Replace the DA. Oh, she said it. And then have them in the pocket. But see, they didn't have all of the information and they did not understand who they were dealing with. That there was a truth teller amongst them that would eventually come clean and just blow the lid off the whole damn thing. And as far as Stormy Daniels goes, Sir, Mr. Alvin Bragg, that's been proofed, and it'll play out. Because not every picture of Stormy Daniels is indeed Stormy Daniels, and not every picture of someone that looks like President Trump in a MAGA hat is President Trump in a MAGA hat. We've learned this. And so there is a real Donald Trump. There is. And there are others, but not any longer. Things are becoming right. And I do believe they'll continue to become right. So having said all that, the question remains, why then bring this to the Supreme Court? Why is this argument necessary to have? Well, it's necessary to have because understand that Congress was negligent and remiss in their duties to not bring charges against the Kenyan who sat as president, Barack Hussein Obama, when he decided to willy-nilly just drone American citizens, drone attack people, just take all the little bombs and drop them on people for no reason because it was Tuesday and because he could. How many bombs a day did he drop while he was sitting behind the desk, pretending that he had a right to be president? And everybody let him do it. There's culpability in that. And the doctor who knew that who had a Schwann's and who didn't, that doctor's culpable too. Why? Because they did not defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. They protected a person. They broke their oath. It gets that simple. If you knew the truth of the traitor among us and you didn't do something about it, you're culpable. And you'll be held responsible. And some of holding them responsible is allowing them to do what's necessary to right things the right way because they know what broke and they know where they broke it. And so under high scrutiny and extreme supervision, I think we should allow some folks the opportunity to right those things that they had helped make wrong. I'm just saying, and I mean it. I'm not saying it passe. Because we ask the question again, what does winning look like? Do we fight each other? Is that winning? Let's talk a little bit about what we're fighting about. Let's talk just a little bit about what we're fighting about. We're fighting about stuff over in Palestine. We need to do that. We need to talk about that. Some of the things that people are losing their mind at over the world stage is Putin's invading Ukraine. He's going to do this. He's going to make it that. No, he's not. Why would he do that? Why would Putin invade a place and kill all the people? Doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if he knows that there are biolabs in China and it's hurting the people of Ukraine, who he deeply loves and respects. There's a history there. And he's cleaning out the human trafficking dens. Why? Because he loves Ukraine and the people there. There's history. You say, well, Leanna Grace, what's the history? Well, let's look at the flag. I don't think I posted it. Pardon me, I'll have to go ahead and do that post-production. I don't think I posted it, but you can simply go to Wikipedia or any engine, search engine, and get the history of the flag of Ukraine. It's important to know these things because our history has been hidden from us. So since we don't know the history, they can hide their offenses in plain sight. And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then we do a baby with the bathwater routine. So for a very long time, we've been revealing to folks that there are Nazis in Ukraine and that the insignia that Ukraine is now using is the sigil of Moloch, right? The baby sacrifice. You sacrifice your firstborn to Moloch, and evidently there's prosperity on the horizon for you, according to them. That's not a Christian mark. Now, has it always been that way? No. No. Ukraine at one point, and I'm going to go ahead and expand my little graphic here so that I can report this correctly. I'm just going by a graphic. But the symbol of Ukraine that's being used right now is the symbol of someone by the name of Vladimir the Great. Now, we've learned throughout history that if there is one, there's more. There's more than one Vladimir the Great. There's more than one Peter the Great in history. It seems as though this multiplicity issue has been occurring over time, or someone has gone back in time and multiplicitated it. It's a new word. We can use it. Why not? Multiplicitate. Don't use it weird. So now the lesser arms of the Ukrainian People's Republic includes this sigil of Moloch. Now, I want to tell you that that was not the sigil, that is not the coat of arms that is original to Ukraine. The blue and the yellow, yes, because it's a breadbasket. Ukraine is the breadbasket of the area, and that is what the flag reflects. Blue skies and golden grain. So if it's a breadbasket and it is the apple of Putin's eye, does it make any sense that he would go in and blow shit up? I don't think so. So if that's not the case, if that doesn't follow, if that's a non sequitur, what's really going on? And when did it start? And how can we stop it? And what's the answer? And what are the Ukrainian people's options? Well, the relationship, the longstanding relationship between Russia and Ukraine is that when the Soviet Union broke up, a little bit of history here, the Soviet Union broke up in 90-ish, this is, okay, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And he did, and then proceeded to, the Soviet bloc proceeded to allow the cessation of different provinces and areas to be what they were before. There were a couple of arguments over the lines and the boundaries and stuff, but for the most part, it was a peaceful transition, if there could be one. I mean, it had to have been difficult, into the provinces that you see now that were part of the Soviet bloc while it was under Soviet rule. Well, what happened with Ukraine is that's the only remaining state where the Soviet Socialist Republican Party, the Party of Soviet Socialist Republic, is in Ukraine. And they didn't do a whole lot for a very long time, not for a little while anyway, until they got help from Barack Obama. We'll get to that when we get to the bullet. So, but I am going to preface it with this. We're going to find out that the Obama regime and all the things that they did allowed for the overtaking of Ukraine by the sigil of Moloch, by these Soviet Socialist Republic that joined now forces with Nazis bearing the Black Sun, and they're working together and they're trying to overrun Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin comes in, and now we've got Vladimir Putin coming in to try to take the place back for Ukraine. Do I think that he's going to swoop it up and take it as his own? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because it began with Crimea, remember. It started with Crimea, and then it inched in a little bit closer, and then we got into here, and it all started with Obama. Give nay damn about our Constitution and gives nay damn about the Bible. And when he left office, he let us know he was out of fire trucks. He didn't lie. He just dared us to believe he was telling the truth. You can find that in his last press conference. I believe CNN still has, or See, what is the one of the C-SPAN channels has that. Oh, for all I know, CNN has it too. So that's what we're looking at. We've got a few more minutes before the break. Let's take a look at some more of these things because all of this has been hidden in plain sight, but we couldn't see it through all the bullshit that was coming through the media airwaves. Look at this, not at this. Look at this, don't connect that dot. Over here, interrupt this news broadcast. This is happening over here. Someone blew something up over here. Everybody panic. That's what we're hearing nonstop. Take this shot or everybody's going to die. Nonstop. So item number two, when did NATO, because I'm like, NATO? Really? No. UN? Really? No. No, thank you. And to quote Mr. Matt Gaetz, goodbye to UN. We don't need them in America, and we certainly don't need them in our business. They've caused a lot of problems, and we'll talk about that as we move forward in the broadcast. So the question becomes, when did NATO become anyone's friend without an extremely high price? I'll wait. Because NATO exacts a high price of fraternity, but provides a very low return of fidelity. Right? A high price for the fraternity and a low return on the fidelity. But once you've shaken hands with NATO, then you are now members, and if you go against all of the other members, now they're going to gang up on you. That's called mob rule. And all of NATO and all of these little alliances and little group hugs that they got going on here and there and everywhere is nothing more than a back door for global democratic, which is mob, democratic mob rule. And when you get into NATO, then they just figure, you know, that it's what's yours is theirs, and what's theirs is theirs, and everything that you have now belongs to them. And that's a lie. But people have shaken hands and gone along with it until President Trump stepped up and said, no, we're paying for everything. Pay your fair share or we're not going to help you. And people are trying to go at him for that, and I'm just like, at what point did that become unfair? At what point did any of the words that he said become unfair simply because he said that? Are you going to continue to provide a service for something who's not going to pay you for it? If the agreement is you pay this amount of money and we'll help and protect you and yada, all of the stuff, when did that become different? Just because you fall back on your payments doesn't mean that I'm going to owe you my labor, my protection, my warriors, our treasure, our blood, when you can't keep your end of the bargain to fit some of the bill when that's what you said you would do. NATO is a trap. NATO is a trap. It was put together under the auspices of having a union to be able to fight against communism, which was nothing more than a trap. So they control the mob, and then they rule. Isn't that what mob rule is? The ones who control the mob rule? Democracy is. We're not a democracy in this nation. I hear people say, oh, it's a danger to our democracy. Damn right we are, because we are asserting the truth that we're a republic, which means everybody has a voice, not just the loudest and not just the most in number. That's what winning looks like. If you wanted an answer to the question, that's what winning looks like. And there are some people who are deranged enough and have drunk enough of the Kool-Aid that they really think that Donald J. Trump is a bad person. And there have been those impersonators who are bad people. I think they're covered. We've proofed them. They've played out. So why does or did NATO want to get their hands on Ukraine? Why did they want that? because then they can hand off the breadbasket, and they can hand off the church, and they can hand off the people to whatever authority is going to break them up and do the most damage so that they can take over the area without much to do about nothing. And at the end of all of their charades, the people will thank them for their slavery. That's kind of what has happened. That's what they're still trying to bring into effect here. What I would like to say is hands off the breadbasket, and that means Ukraine. Hands off the church in Ukraine, and hands off the people. That's to the Soviet Social Republic that's trying to run it, and to the Nazis that are about to lay down every weapon that they ever had because they know they're done, and there is no rear support for them. And this Zelensky guy has left his soldiers on the field. Was it Vladimir, or is he the puppet? Because we know there's a little bit about that we need to proof out. So not everything is as it seems. What I do know is the good guys have won. God wins. And things are being put back where they belong. It's going to be a process. It's not going to take long. It'll be a process. And we need everybody working together, not just for their personal win, but so that we can really see what winning looks like for humanity. And I'm not being exclusive, so let's not read into that. We can do this. We've had to do it before. We certainly can do it again. I'm not going to go deep into the history this evening and deep into some of the things locally, but I am going to return to this. We're going to talk about the European Union. We're going to talk a little bit more about the coup in Ukraine, the real coup, the real coup that occurred, and under whose watch, and the incrementalness of it, and the side that we the people took in ignorance. We'll need to own that and move forward, because we need to pray for these people. We've got our own local things. We've got our legal issues, you know, all of that stuff. But these things are important too. Why? Because if we're not there for the people of Ukraine, if we need them, they won't be there for us, because they won't be there. We are in this together. Winning looks like winning for everybody. Not just our little piece of the pie, although, you know, we all like pie. We can win together. And continuing to tell the truth, because truth is, after all, the mortar that holds it together. No foundation or building of lies is ever going to hold. And going through some of this history is a lot like a house of mirrors. And I was kind of joking with the Guardians, yeah, because I do. Joking with these, it's no longer a house of mirrors for me. It's like being in the center of a whole dodecahedron and trying to figure some of the things out. But we're doing it with the help of many. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go into a little bit of a break, just a little bit, because, you know, that's how much time we've got left to do all of this, these goody things. Let's go ahead and listen to the tribute to the digital soldiers and to General Flynn. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back.
My fellow Americans, patriots of the world, it is time we rise as one, to collectively shine our light on the darkness that we live amongst. It is time to claim our victory and restore this world as it was meant to be. We truly can achieve heaven on earth if we simply believe. Are we not the ones we've been waiting for? Is this not our destiny? Our call out to you. Find it in your soul to shine your light brighter than you have ever known. I call out to you. Make it clear. We are the protectors of our home.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have an army.
soldier on the scene, dropping memes. Y'all know what to do. We collective, not few. You and I, thank you. The whole world thanks you. That they do, that they do. Ha. Yeah. Not about I, not about one guy, not about man's time. No. It's about what's in our minds. There's a fine line, the truth and lies, while holding the front line. Go! We are.
We have an army.
Is about replacing a failed and corrupt, and when I say corrupt, I'm talking about totally corrupt, political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell.
Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, silence won't be protecting nothing. And we're going to talk about it loud, because by coming to terms with what the truth is and not letting our nation die of embarrassment, then I think we can get a pretty good handle on things going forward. Welcome back to the broadcast. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off. We're still speaking about these legal issues and these things that are going on, and I just now lost my train of thought of the things that we were going to talk about on the other side. So let me just go ahead and wrap it up. I'm getting the wrap up this particular topic, and we'll come back to it because we have bullet points to get through, and we'll help be able to lay it out that way as well. So the bottom line is there were no federal statutes that were broken that came under impeachment during the tenure of Donald J. Trump being president, of the 45th president of the United States. Had there been high crimes and misdemeanors committed during his tenure, it is the duty of Congress to bring articles of impeachment. They tried. There was no meat, no substance to any of it. So there is an incongruence of an argument there. Once he's out of office, is he going to be tried for anything that the Congress missed? Well, let's take a look at that. What did Congress miss when the Kenyans sat as president? First of all, nobody said a damn thing that a Kenyan was sitting as president. Do you see where we're going with this? Nobody said anything when they realized that Michelle Obama was a mic, except for Joe Biden, and he was silenced, and his brand has been used, and we see that now. That's been proofed. It will play out. So there's been a lot of chicanery and a lot of hoodwinkery and otherwise silly little games being played in front of the American people by some people that thought they could get away with it. And us being trusting, it is not normal to be this distrustful and suspicious of those that we have elected to represent us. So they did, and they are being held accountable, not a one of them. And the ones that did, seems that there was a high price to pay. And that will be proofed and play out. So next, the very last deal that's come up, and people are talking about this as if it has, as if they don't understand what's going on. So I'm going to explain what it is that's going on, and we'll get to this at the very end, and I want to highlight it because I'll bring it up at the end of the broadcast because it's going to give a segue into something else. So I'm just going to highlight that, and that's that dictator comment on day one. So we'll address that at the end of the broadcast because we've got some other things to discuss as well. So what I did during this, we had some primaries coming up, and it kind of segues into this as well. So I do want to talk about an area of Michigan. I want to talk about Michigan, the Michigan primary. It brought some attention. I have some attention things to talk about when we get there. So in essence, why does NATO want Ukraine? They want the people, they want the breadbasket, they want the church to be gone because they, the power that's in, the branch that's in power now likes Moloch. And they were put in power by a coup d'etat that began with Crimea and nobody did anything. And then in 2014, I think it was, that there was, Obama and the whole coup d'etat that was U.S. sponsored, and we've got all of the evidence, we got all of the photographs, we got Lindsay there. Was it him? Was it live? Was it Memorex? Was it duress? Understand there's a lot of things on the table, a lot of mitigating circumstances. It doesn't mitigate many things. It doesn't excuse bad behavior. But because we are a rational species, we do want to understand. So there's some little tidbits of things to understand. So with the European Union, they were romancing Ukraine with stones, and the Kenyan who sat as president was very happy to help with that. Remember, he sent blankets, but he also sent bombs, not for them to use, but for them to duck and cover from, as well as fires of dew from directed energy weapons. So he was using those weapons and drone strike attacks and everything else against the people of Crimea and against the people of Ukraine because they wanted their puppet in power. So they had to make the legitimate leader look illegitimate. And they did that. And why didn't Putin go in? Because the people of Ukraine would have suffered greatly. He didn't have backup. So when we're asking the question of who's Ukraine's new boyfriend, well, I think the boyfriend has been kicked out, and now there's some cleanup operations going. I know what the media is showing you. I'm going to ask you guys to look a little deeper to see if what I'm saying is or is not true, because we do need to have take reference and respect to the Arabian Springs. And then there was, of course, the Ukrainian Spring. But it started in Crimea. Now, when usually we talk about correlation versus causation, we usually caution against picking up non sequiturs. Not everything that correlates is cause. And I often use the example, the price of, ice cream sales, actually, just the whole sales of ice cream tend to increase in the summertime. And, well, murder rates also tend to increase in the summertime. And a dishonest reporter might try to make a non sequitur correlation and start saying, well, then it looks like ice cream causes people to commit murder. That's what we're seeing in the causation correlation confusion that's going on with all of this stuff surrounding the legalities of Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. It's confusion, and it's confusion for a reason. They're playing hide the peanut, or actually they're playing hide the ball and find a peanut. And it's more like hide the ball and find a peanut. And we're finding all the little peanuts. They can't hide all of the little stuff. And we're proofing it. And it will play out. Because when there's that much proof in front, they don't dare. They're just going to let it play out. So there's an abusive relationship that goes on when we start discussing Ukraine and the boyfriend and all of that. And the abusive relationship is with NATO. NATO still wants Ukraine. Now they want Ukraine more than ever. Why? Because there's Nazis in Ukraine, and that's who's running NATO. It's all this communist, democratic, you say, Leonard Rich, calling everybody Nazi. Well, let me tell you, they are a fascist regime. They want what's yours, and they don't want to pay for you to protect them. They're not our friends. They don't treat us like, I know what friends are. And NATO doesn't treat the United States or any of its allies like friends. They treat those members of NATO as property. And they view those members of NATO's nations as property. So when the leader, a NATO nation, this is just a for instance, comes in, sits down at the NATO table, right? The head of NATO says, well, we need to have you make your country do this. They're like, okay. And we'll give you all the support and all of the deception tools that you need to fool your people into making poor decisions for us. Okay. And then we elect President Donald J. Trump as president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States, and he says, no. No. This is what we got, and this is what you're going to do, or you're going to go to jail. Some of you are going to go to jail anyway. That's what happened. And he's been clearing the board, and they've been attacking him the whole time. He's clearing the board. They're attacking him the whole time. Why are they attacking him? Because their game has been over. And with the very last gasp of lawfare, they're hoping that something sticks. But it won't, because he's not a criminal. And you can make somebody appear to be dishonest for a little while, but it's only a matter of time and tenacity before the truth comes out. And I think we have seen enough tenacity, and it has been about time for the truth to come out. So I do want to tell a little bit about Palestine. In fact, I want to talk a lot about Palestine. And in Friday's broadcast, we're going to talk a lot more about Ukraine. I know you thought I was going to say Palestine, but I'm not. I'm going to leave it on the field here, because what I'm discussing here, although it's biblical, is completely political. And people need to know it. Not from my viewpoint, but the picture that's been drawn is political. And I want to remind our American citizens who live here that seem to be creating escapades and trying to apply pressure on the American government officials, spend the money of the American people to fight a battle that you have not left behind in Palestine. You are either American or you a Palestinian, bless your hearts. You are welcome, but you're going to need to choose. You're going to need to choose. Do you love Palestine? If you do, you need to go there. You don't want to go there because it's blowing up? Then you need to make a difference to stop it and go over there to do it. Or you can serve the United States Senate and the United States people and not insist that we're held hostage by your fuming and your gaming and your huffing and your puffing and you blowing the house down if you don't get your way for your friends over in Palestine. If you want to help them, go help them. If you want to help the United States of America, help us. But you're going to need to choose which one you put first. And if you're going to put Palestine first at the risk of the American people, whether they're Jewish or Palestinian or Native American or just plain old white cracker like me, then we can all work together on this. But if you're going to insist you hold our nation hostage to the whims of some other terrorist organization that is ruining the countryside and the state of Palestine and its people, then you don't know what's going on. You're whining for somebody else, and you're totally unqualified to be in a leadership position. I do not have an issue against Palestinian Americans, those who came from Palestine and are now qualified in calling themselves Americans. I have no issue with those who are of Mohammedan faith that are here in America. Issue that I have is the same issue I would have with Christians or Catholics or anything else, is that you hold something else before the Constitution of the United States when you raised your right hand and said, United States Constitution, I'll defend it, protect it. You're not doing your job. And more than one of you allowed the Kenyan who sat as president, and you didn't say a word. That makes you culpable. Now, as far as the people who live in Dearborn, Michigan, love ya. You have a right to be very angry about the decisions that Joe Biden is making, but you really do not have a right to hold the nation hostage. Love you. You do not have a right to hold the nation hostage because you think some injustice is occurring on the other side of the earth. You don't have the right. And the fact that you think that you do shows that you have more gall than sense. And those who have gotten to follow you, you have misled them into a trap. And you've gotten them emotionally attached to a lie. Now here's the truth. Palestine is Philistia, the land of the Philistines. They've been the arch enemy of the Jewish people. They've seen themselves as such for a very long time. Why? It's biblical. Are the people in Palestine the same people who were in who we biblically qualify as Philistines? Not likely. They have migrated, and a lot of them are living in the United States of America. So understand, when we're talking about Palestine, we're talking about a footprint. And am I going to say two-state solution? No, we're not going to talk about that. I'm talking about the truths and the lies. Understand, it's been hysterical history for a very long time, for generations, plural. And the only way that bad people can do bad things to other people is if people stand by and let them. It's been generations of Jew-hating teaching that's been going on. Can you imagine how hard it must be to see through that smokescreen? I'm getting on the same side of the desk as you right now. It must be very difficult to see the truth through all the hate that you've been taught. But you've been taught all of that hate because Charlie can't surf and needs you to surf, to serve him. Most people who are of the Mohammedan faith, they're not stupid people. They see things differently. They still think they've been taught to be an arch enemy of this person. That's not where we're at historically. So there's no need to be there hysterically. But if you're here, help us fight for here first. We need you here to help us fight here first. Understand that Netanyahu has been proofed out and it will play out. It's been proofed out. It will play out. We are not your enemies. You live here. You came here as refugees, most of you. Please don't destroy the place that has welcomed you so openly. And please do get on the same side as we are in America, as Americans, regardless of your origin, regardless of your religion, can come together with understanding that our basic human needs need to come first. The basic national needs need to come first. We need to protect our border from the very people coming from Palestine that are going to come and hurt you folks who have assimilated into the American culture. You know I'm speaking the truth. So protection of the southern border is protection of the Michigan population of Mohammedans that are doing all they can to assimilate properly and quickly. But they're being impeded by those loudmouth jerks that keep spewing the same hate in your face and daring you to think individually. That's the way I see it. You're Americans now. You're us now. You're not them anymore. And we need all of the us's on board, because there's them's coming across the southern border to look just for the us's that look like you. So that's not a byword. It's not just a tagline to say we're all in this together. We are. We all have the same national goals, I hope. And that includes those Mohammedan Americans. And I say it that way because it delineates from the crazy Islamic terrorist crap that's going to be coming across the southern border looking for the mild-mannered Mohammedans. You know I'm speaking truth. You know your own culture. And you know the price that you'll pay for speaking in, for thinking individually, the same as the far right wing crazies try to exert the power, the far left crazies try to exert their individual power against the group. You don't have to be them. You live here, be us. That fight is coming to a close. If you will let it come to a close. But you're still being played by those with a very loud, sassy voice that doesn't have your best interest in heart. Because if those with the loud, sassy, smart-aleck voices had your best interest at heart, they wouldn't be having you scream so loud and wave the colors of another nation in front of us, meaning the United States. I understand the frustration. We all understand the frustration that you must have. But you are here by choice. You have become part of us by choice. And so what I'm asking you to do is to be us by choice. You don't have to leave any of you behind. Bring you here. So that we can be us. It's going to be an adjustment. We see things differently. But we can do this because we've got a nation to save. And if we can get this one taken care of, it seems as though the other things can take care of itself, because this has been ground zero of AO for bad guys for a while. We can own it. We're not going to die of embarrassment. We'll say the truth about it. They've used this as ground zero. They've used other locations too. And just like good Borg, when they see that their demise is coming to an end, they go off somewhere else and they decided Ukraine would be good. Why? Because it's a breadbasket. And it's got lots of church folks that would never think about the things that they're trying to do there. So again, hands off the breadbasket, hands off the church, and hands off the people. All of them, whether they're in a church or a mosque, hands off the people. Why should it not? Whether you're Muslim or Christian or Jew or non-denom or whatever, you worship Satan, I've got other words for you. You are not my friend. Period. And I won't explain it because I don't have to. But all of those who are children of Abraham, is that not what the Abraham Accords was about? Understand that Hamas does not love you. Hamas doesn't care about you. And there's no way to win for Hamas. It's just continued killing. That's what Hamas means. It was created by the very folks. It was created by the intelligence agencies over in Israel. It was. We're telling the truth. And then it got out of control, and now nobody can control it. And you say, well, that's good. No, it's not, because it's coming after you, the people. And the Americans who are now us that are fighting for the ones for the things over in Palestine, we want everyone to be safe. We want hostages out. We want all of those things too. But understand, the money that you're collecting is going to arm the very people that are killing the very people that you want us to feel for. so you're here. Be us. Be us. Because you are us. And we're going to treat you like us. Whether you feel like you're a part of us or not. Michiganers, Dearborn, and all the concentrations of Mohammedans that are not radical. I'm going to offer you the same solution that President Trump offered over in Saudi Arabia. All of you us's that are Mohammedan, and you know who all the loudmouth crazy people are that are not just Mohammedan, but they are Islamic terrorist extremes that want to ruin your world now that you're here and part of us. Point them out and kick them out. Don't hurt them. Don't be violent. Point them out. Kick them out. Get them out of office. Them do to your city what they're still trying to do over in the Levant. Because they will. And you know what I'm saying is true because you know your culture. So it's up to you, the Mohammedans that are Mohammedans indeed, and not radical Islamic terrorists that want to break things and ruin things and control everything in the name of whatever, and you know they're telling lies. You have within your community the ability, without breaking laws, to oust them and take away their voice of influence. You have the greatest influence within your own communities. You are here. You are us. And I'm going to ask you to continue to help us to keep your cities, your county, and your states safe from those who do not want you to keep it safe. This is what I'm offering to you. It's messy because it's biblical. But if it's biblical, then we are connected through Father Abraham, and this is a truth that we will not let go of. If you're here, you're us. And I'm going to ask that you continue to help us. And that last little sub-bullet there is, it's not the truth that's going to hurt, but the constant ripping away of the lie, because there are so many layers. So many layers. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to get through this. We're going to get on the other side. Things are going to be okay. But I'm going to ask the Mohammedan communities, not just Dearborn, not just Michigan, not just those areas, but all of the areas throughout the US, throughout the United States, all the areas throughout us, stand up for us and understand that what they are doing is using you against us. But in the end, they're going to destroy you too. Let's not let that happen to us. We're going to need to be brave. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back on the other side.
Start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do.
Will not protect us. And this is why we need to talk about these things, to see things as they really are, not as they've been spun, and not with the infantile arguments that we've become emotionally attached to, namely, my God's bigger than your God, which is a ridiculous argument in the extreme. We start with Father Abraham and we go from there, because we all want to know the truth, do we not? And I think we can get there. So there you have that. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about, now I'm kind of bringing it to a close, as it were. I've got a few more minutes to go. That gives me a few more items to cover that I might not have otherwise gotten. I've got a different outline on my page. And I think I've actually covered that. So I want to talk a little bit, because we've got time. I want to talk about, let's do it. I want to talk about Ukraine some more, and I want to talk about Babylon and the Philistines and things like that, just to back up the argument so that people can see what the truth is. This is not rhetoric. This is not narrative. This is actually historical facts that I'm sharing, all right? So that's where I live. It's the historical kind of fact thing. So I want to talk a little bit again about Ukraine and the crest that used to be present and what it represents and what it was replaced with, of course, we know is the sigil of Moloch, the lesser arms of the Ukrainian people. Now, what I would suggest to my listeners to do a little background to check to see if I've got my facts right. You know, I'm always welcoming somebody to prove me wrong so that I can learn some of the things I want to be wrong about. Turns out that I want to be. So let's take a look at what the kingdom was, and it was called a kingdom before it was called Ukraine, before it was, I'm going to say, just the way it was before, it was sucked up into the Soviet Union and came under Soviet rule to save them from I don't know what was coming across the plains, right? During one of them, their wars. Before then, it was the kingdom of Ruthenia. Yeah. It was a kingdom called Ruthenia, R-U-T-H-E-N-I-A. And you can get this off Wikipedia. This is really easy information to obtain if you're curious to look for it. And the arms of the West Ukrainian lands was under the Polish and Lithuanian rule. So see, this is all pre-war stuff. And that's when all of the boundaries and the nation's boundaries started getting blurred a little bit, and one nation was being set against another way back then, way, way back then. And the arms of the West Ukrainian People's Republic, which is what it was called, the West Ukrainian People's Republic, wasn't no Soviet Socialist Republic or nothing. They were a free people, and they, as their crest, it was an azure background or a blue background, and then a dancing golden lion. And so we have these symbolisms of Christianity, and it was placed on a shield. So we have these symbolisms of Christianity being replaced by symbols of Moloch. And we'll be discussing some of those sigils and symbols and things like that as on Friday, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll see how it goes and what happens between now and then. Now, a little bit more about the Babylonian Empire. I just want to give that history again, because when you go through the history, that's when you're going to find out about Vladimir the Great. You're going to find about Peter the Great. And you'll see that there is a switcheroony of sigils, and we'll discuss it more on Friday. So again, with the Babylonian period, I want to discuss a little bit more about Philistines, about the Philistine area, about the Gaza Strip in particular. And just right there during the Babylonian period, you can go to Wikipedia, just looking it up. And you can see in the middle paragraph, it says the next year, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Philistine cities, Ashdod, Ekron, Ashkelon, and Gaza. By 601 BCE, all the former states in the Levant had become Babylonian colonies. So all of that area was owned by Babylon, all of it. Nebuchadnezzar came in and conquered it, and God gave the lands to Nebuchadnezzar to conquer because evidently they needed a babysitter. We've talked about that before on the program as well. Judah was messing up, needed a babysitter, and so Yahweh Elohim let Babylon have it. And that's, of course, where we get our statue and we enter into the book of Daniel with the prophetic vision, with the statue there and of the kingdoms and the progressions thereof. So if we're all in this together and we all know basically the same things and the same, I mean, the Mohammedan faith loves Daniel. The Mohammedan faith, it does not ostracize things. There's just some confusion that we all need to work through. So all of these things happen. So what's going on then with the Gaza Strip and with that? And well, they're giving us a target. They're giving us something to fight over. There's no reason for this to be an issue. There's no reason for this to be an issue other than very bad people want to keep a swatch of the Palestinian land called the Gaza Strip especially, so that they can do the same bad things right there, hidden in plain sight, as the Vladimirs are trying to do and the sigil of Moloch is trying to do over in Ukraine, and that the very bad people were trying to do over here in the United States, and very bad people were trying to do in every place that they land and set up shop to NATO and the UN. They have their act down to a science, or they did until the election of Donald J. Trump as the 45th president of the United States, which instantly began the process of returning the nations to we the people. And that is why the deep state has fought them The deep state, what are they? That's all of the collection of people that want to see our destruction and think that they even have a shot of coming out on top. Not because we're big and bad and we fight back good, which is part of it, but because they are so warped in their perception of reality, they will continue to kill each other off to be on top. They'll come together for a little while and then they'll have a fight, and we the people pay the brunt. And I think it's time that we can stop them. And just as I said to my Mohammedan brothers and sisters, those who are now part of us and deserve all of the privileges and all of the protections that the rest of us receive, we need to kick these buggers out. We need to kick them out. Those who would cause unrest among us, those who would pit us against each other based on what? A religious disagreement? On a historical point of interest? No, I'm going to challenge my Mohammedan brothers and sisters to see through the lie that they have been used to carry on an argument that was long ago settled. Is Gaza the Philistinian land? Yes. Are there still Philistines there? No, Nebuchadnezzar took them out because they were going to destroy him too. Now, understand with the Philistines, well, there's a lot of Josephus stuff going to come into here. But the Philistines weren't happy for anybody, and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon are not the Philistines. So all of the Philistine cities were destroyed. Now, they're giving Nebuchadnezzar some credit for some of the things that Joshua did. Understand, this is what we need to understand. When we're reading Wikipedia, we got to filter through some of the stuff. It points good, but we do have to do some further research. All right, so we're just down the last quarter of the hour here, and I want to go ahead and recap some of the things that we've looked at. Basically, a lot of games have been going on, and the truth of the situation hasn't been told to us. And they continue to take pot shots and legal shots and have lawfare and do all of this stuff against the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, because they don't want him back in office. Why? Because they don't want any of the truth to be known as true. And they will prolong the lie as long as possible. And if they can get any foot in the legal door to trip it up, then they will. Now, understand, Colorado just kicked the name Donald J., just kicked him off the ballot. And they are in big trouble for that, not because I said so, but because the Constitution says that. They cannot infringe upon the right of the individual to use their voice to address or redress grievances. And they cannot use a local law to supersede a federal law that says every citizen, every eligible citizen must be provided the opportunity to use their vote. Now, does it say that verbatim? No, that's the gist of it. Is it the letter of the law? No, that's the spirit speaking. Attention to that. So the Colorados that took the name off the ballot, they're wrong. And any state that takes a presidential candidate off their ballot is very wrong, and it's against federal law. And so those who went with it, those that allowed it, those that signed off on it, those who all went together conspiratorially, that just means more than one or two people did it together. So all of those involved, that's the conspiracy, more than one. All of those involved need to be held accountable. That's a federal offense. And if they break the Constitution too much, then it amounts to treason, and well, then we know that that holds the death penalty. So they might want to write that up. They might want to make it right. They might want to reverse their decision before another decision legally against them needs to be brought to counter the very bad decision-making process that they just exercised by removing a legitimate candidate for president of the United States off the ballots. Might I even add that I suspect with malice. And their malice against President Trump is neither here nor there, but their malice has caused them such a mind loss and an irrational train of thought that they step in front of we the people and deny us. That's what they're doing. It's not about denying President Trump a right on the ballot, although that's how it is. That's how it's playing out. The offense is against we the people because we're not being given an opportunity in that state, we're not being given an opportunity to vote for the candidate of our choice. Understand that those who are elected should represent the people, not their own self-interests. So when they do this, then we search. What do we search? To see what they're covering up. What is it that Colorado corporately, understand that this decision was made corporately for all of the Coloradonians, or however they call themselves. So these people have corporately made a decision that places the people of Colorado at great risk. And I might add that they are trying to protect something in Denver. I don't know what's really going on at the airport. We can dig all day and get distracted by all of this minutia. Or they can simply come to Jesus and put him back on the ballot. And that means coming to a divine understanding of right and wrong when I use that phrase. And put the names back on the ballot the way they're supposed to be and quit playing silly games. Because you're only going to go to jail for them. Not because I say so, but because the law says so. And there's enough people who are law-abiding citizens that are really pissed off and are willing to take action. Make their voices heard a lot. So we come down to the end of the broadcast, just a few minutes left. I want to go ahead and address some of the other things that I've addressed in the other broadcasts, and that is namely, again, I want to shout out and thank you to Miss Nikki Haley, and I want to thank the ambassador for a heads up on some of the things that were going on that I might have missed, you know, mainly some of the things in Dearborn and showing that she is still able to gather portions of the vote. However, Nikki Haley is not qualified to run for the presidency of the United States. I say this with all due respect and with truth, with just a fact. And the reason that she's not qualified, and she does know that she's not qualified to run for president of the United States, is because she doesn't meet the citizen requirements. Her daughter, her children will, but she does not. And has to do with where her parents were born. And Nikki Haley knows this. So if Nikki Haley knows this, why is she still in the race? And I want to say thank you, Ambassador, for continuing to point to the hole in the party. Now, what I have noticed also is that there seems to be a little bit of communication issue with some things. I'm going to leave that right there. And it seems as though the communication is cleared up, and I'm going to leave that right there. So I do want to say thank you to the ambassador for drawing to our attention the fact that there are things that need to be righted and that there is a hole in the party. There's a slight division and misunderstanding. But I also want to say this is what I have not heard yet from President Trump. Is who his pick is for vice president. And some people have even been kicking around the name of Nikki Haley, but understand that he needs somebody who is willing to step into the office day one. He needs to build someone who's qualified, and she doesn't, it for all of her good intentions, and thank you for pointing, she's not going to be able to be the one. So who is it that he would pick? And what is it about this issue that President Trump would be, you know, he says, well, he'd be dictator on day one. He would do some things and then he wouldn't be a dictator anymore. And a lot of people have given heat and they've stirred up the mud and clouded up the water and tried to not let people see what's going on. But I want to tell you that it doesn't matter who. You know, when he's elected on day one, he will be in a position of being a dictator. And you say, well, Anna Grace, what? No, we need to understand this, that there hasn't been a single moment that he's been without power or authority. And I'm going to leave that there for now, because it'll make itself known in due time. But he has not exercised any of that power or authority outside of the law. And that will be revealed in due time. So what is it that he is saying when he says he would be a dictator on day one? Well, he would have to be, because there was a peaceful transition to military power that was announced. And we have been under soft martial law. And so on day one that he returns to the office, it would be under the auspices of a dictator until he signs that away on day one. Because did he not say that the whole goal is to return power to we the people? And how can he do that if he doesn't first get it from the bad guys? And they're trying very, very hard to keep him from returning it to we the people. So, Mr. President, with the last few minutes that I have in this broadcast, I've been watching from the day one that I've been able to watch, and I've listened to the arguments, and I've listened to the rhetoric, and I've watched the narrative. And I've seen what's been going on in front and behind the scenes. And I know that I have been investigated out the gills. And for the most part, I have become an open book. So there's not much that is in my past, present, or probably even my direct future that you're not aware of. So having said all of that, knowing that I'm a vet, knowing that I'm qualified by age, and know that I have not committed any felonies, nor been convicted or accused of any, I would like to offer my name as one to consider as your vice president for the United States as we go forward to fight this fight and save the nation. We've never met. You and I have never had a phone conversation, direct line on landline or cell. There's never been any direct correspondence between the two of us. But I think you know who I am and where I stand and what my abilities are, and that if I offer, it's all or nothing. And it would be an honor to continue to be of service to the 45th President of the United States. My aspirations are simply to support and to actually do the job that is laid out constitutionally, not to compete with your agenda, but to uphold it and to defend it and to point out those areas that might need polishing, sir, with all due respect. It seems like a far reach, perhaps to some, but I'm up for it, and I'll be ready for it if I'm the type of person that you're looking for. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's been my absolute honor and privilege to bring you the broadcast tonight, or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. We're going to go ahead and bring it to a close. I do see I have a caller in the queue. I just now saw it. We're not going to have time to get to you. But we'll get to you on another occasion, perhaps. I do have every plan to be on air on Friday, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And we'll see how it is that we go forward from here. I am your host, Leander Grace. I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.